Dylan C. Rocket.
Is it actually even being broadcast at the museum, or did nobody even go into the museum today to turn it on?
They don't have to turn it on. It's on all the time.
Oh, okay.
Like, normally what people hear back in Baltimore is the Hold Your Phone Up broadcasts are just looping in the museum.
Oh, that's exciting.
Well, it's going to grow. You know, every week we get more calls, and so that it is kind of it's not exciting, but it's interesting.
It's interesting. Okay. Fair enough.
And then we interrupt every Wednesday to do our little broadcast, and then it's kind of silent because I have to run home to turn it back on. So, anyway, doesn't really matter today because there's nobody there.
Okay.
Anyway,
great.
Dylan with Amy Goodman.
Yeah.
And a Roland SP-404.
Yes, I have a pretty
little machine.
SP-404 that doesn't get quite as much use as I would hope it would, but we'll see what we can do today. So I'm going to talk about Amy Goodman for a little bit. Amy Goodman, as I'm sure most people generally know, is the host of a program on Pacifica Radio and a lot of independent radio stations across the nation called Democracy Now! She actually got into doing Democracy Now! In a sort of strange way. She got a degree from Harvard in 1984 in anthropology, I believe. Yeah, in anthropology. And the next year, she joined up with WBAI, which is Pacifica Radio's New York branch. And she was the evening news director there for 10 years. Until, in 1991, she went to East Timor to report on the Indonesian occupation of East Timor at the time. And while she was there, she and a colleague of hers witnessed the Indonesian soldiers gunned down 270 East Timorese men, women, and children during a memorial procession. They just absolutely beat Amy Goodman and her colleague Robert Alan Naren. And they came back and reported on it, and it finally got picked up by the news worldwide. And they made a movie about it, and which won numerous awards, including the Robert F. Kennedy Prize for International Reporting, the Alfred I. DuPont Columbia Award, the Armstrong Award, and other awards that I've never heard of, so I'm not really going to mention them. And shortly after that, in 1996, Amy Goodman set up Democracy Now!, and I've always thought that it was kind of weird that was the route that she took to get there. I thought that when I was a kid, my parents always listened to Democracy Now!, so I listened to it on the drive home from school. I always thought that she'd been doing that for a really long time, and any time this East Timor thing came up, I assumed that was a show where they had been broadcasting and just sort of happened on something. I didn't quite realize exactly how she got into the position. I wanted to focus on the East Timor event, because that seems to be a very important event for her, partially because I think it eventually led to the creation of Democracy Now!. But she ended up, as I said, producing a documentary about it, and several years ago, on one of the anniversaries of the event, she actually aired part of that documentary, so that's what I'm going to play for you right now.
And then came the morning of November 12th, the two-week commemoration of Sebastião's funeral. A memorial mass and procession were planned to lay flowers on Sebastião's grave. After the mass was held at the Motayal, people, young and old, came out into the street, and in a land where public speech and assembly had been forbidden for over a decade, they started chanting.
No!
The Timorese then held up banners drawn on bedsheets. They had been prepared for the delegation that never came. The banners called on Indonesia to leave East Timor and said things like, "Why the Indonesian army shoot our church?" The Timorese were facing a gauntlet of troops that stretched the length of Dili. It was the boldest act of public protest occupied Timor had ever seen.
More and more Timorese joined the procession. They came from huts and schools and offices along the way. And there was this building feeling of exhilaration as well as fear among the Timorese. And when they reached the cemetery, the crowd had swelled to maybe 5,000 people. Some went inside to lay flowers on Sebastião's grave. Most of the crowd was still outside. And then suddenly someone looked up, and we saw that marching up along the same route that the Timorese had come, came a long column of Indonesian troops, dressed in brown, holding M16s in front of them, marching in a very slow, deliberate fashion, hundreds and hundreds of troops coming straight at the Timorese.
Alan suggested we walk to the front of the crowd between the soldiers and the Timorese, because although we knew that the army had committed many massacres, we hoped that we as foreign journalists could serve as a shield for the Timorese. Standing with headphones on and microphone and camera out in full view, we went and stood in the middle of the road, looking straight at the approaching troops. Behind us, the crowd was hushed as some Timorese tried to turn away, but they were hemmed in by cemetery walls.
Soldiers marched straight up to us. They never broke their stride. We were enveloped by the troops, and when they got a few yards past us and a dozen yards from the Timorese, they raised their rifles to the shoulders all at once. Soldiers just kept on coming. They poured in, one rank after another. They leaped over the bodies of those who were down. They were aiming and shooting people in the back. I could see their limbs being torn, their bodies exploding. There was blood spurting out into the air, the pop of the bullets everywhere. And it was very organized, very systematic. The soldiers did not stop. They just kept on shooting until no one was left standing.
A group of soldiers grabbed my microphone and threw me to the ground, kicking and punching me. At that point, Alan threw himself on top of me, protecting me from further injury. The soldiers then used their rifle butts like baseball bats, beating Alan until they fractured his skull. As we sat on the ground, Alan covered in blood, a group of soldiers lined up and pointed their M16s at our heads. They had stripped us of all of our equipment. We just kept shouting, "We're from America." In the end, they decided not to execute us.
The soldiers beat us, but we actually had received privileged treatment. We were still alive. They kept on firing into the Timorese. We were able to get onto a passing civilian truck, went into hiding, but the Timorese who had been with us there on the cemetery road, most of them were dead.
Inside the cemetery walls, Max Stahl, a filmmaker on assignment with Yorkshire TV, had had his video camera running.
The soldiers began at that point to encircle the entire cemetery. I saw soldiers as they gradually moved towards the middle, picking out people who were wounded or taking refuge between the cemetery and they beat them and back to the cemetery. People were stripped their weight, they had their guns tied behind their backs, and
they were making them.
Stahl was filming near a crypt in the middle of a cemetery. Some of the wounded and those too scared to run were huddled inside praying. As Stahl filmed, he buried his video cassettes in a fresh grave. Then he was arrested by the troops.
Whilst I was being interrogated, I observed these
in custody, Stahl went back to the cemetery under cover of night, dug up his video cassettes, and had them smuggled out of the country. Alan Nairn and I had managed to leave East Timor a few hours after the massacre. From a hospital on Guam, we reported what had happened to dozens of newspapers, radio, and television outlets around the world.
From Washington, this is the Pacifica Report for Tuesday, November
12, 1991. Massacre at East Timor. Massacre at East Timor. Injured with Eastern Journalism. 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 Injured with Eastern Journalism.
Well, that was part of a documentary that Amy Goodman did on East Timor and the massacre there. Okay, well, I have 2 minutes left, and that's actually... That is not what I meant to do. I have 2 minutes left, and I guess instead of playing the thing and sort of belittling it a little, I guess I'll just tell you about it. Amy Goodman won the Right Livelihood Award in 2008, and the Right Livelihood Award is often called the Alternative Nobel Prize. And I had a clip of that, but that clip takes 6 minutes, and I guess I just went a little bit over than what I thought I would. The Right Livelihood Award is, I guess, a pretty cool award, and I guess I'll just play you the beginning part of this. So here we go.
It is a profound honor to accept this award on behalf of my colleagues at Democracy Now! And the whole community of independent media in our country, the United States, and around the world, whether it's low-power FM or college and community radio stations, public radio and television stations, satellite television, the independent channels here in Stockholm, broadcasting every morning on channel 15 at 8 o'clock. Democracy Now! Began close to 13 years ago. It is a daily, grassroots, global, unembedded, independent, international, investigative news hour.
Yeah, so there we go. I mean, there's not a whole lot of time left, but Amy Goodman has this style of speaking when she speaks live that I think is sort of annoying. I've seen her speak 3 times now. She's actually a hero of mine, but she picks up sort of the spoken word poetry voice thing that I don't really like too much, and kind of gets on my nerves, and she seems to really hype up her own program a lot, which I think is kind of unnecessary. But other than that, I mean, she's awesome, and I think everybody should listen to Democracy Now! So if you have not listened to it today, it comes on at 4 o'clock if you're in Albuquerque, 89.9, and, I don't know, democracynow.org otherwise. So, there you go. What? All right, and I guess that means that Jory is next. So, Jory, here you go.
Hello?